Good morning. It is a joy to be here with you this morning. I pray this is everybody's happy place this morning to be here. I'm glad to be here with a different group of people again. Even though Kane is home, it's good to be here. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson. Thank you, Jethro, for what you shared. I have something to read as I was sitting back there, knowing what I'm going to share this morning. The verse that came to my mind is this. Out of Matthew 22, it says, "And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This morning as I share, I like to share on one anothering this morning. And I pray that you'll be able to see through Scripture how we are supposed to live out our love for Christ and have that be an outpouring in one another's lives. I know that as we are gathered here this morning, we call ourselves a church. We call ourselves Bradford Mennonite Church. And we're a small group of people in a larger church of Christ. And I think sometimes we forget exactly who we are. We forget that we are God's bride. We are His dwelling place. We are where Christ dwells. We are His church. Together as a group of people, we are a oneness in Christ. We have a oneness in Christ's body. We are the body of Christ. And as Kevin talked about Instagram and Facebook, and I think about our American culture and how much of our lives around us, the influence that we have tells us to be individual. But I would like us to think about what it means to love one another, to show Christ's love to one another, and what Scripture says about that. I want to walk through Scripture. I'm going to look through a bunch of different Scriptures, so I hope you can bear with me and turn with me. I'd like you to start with turning to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Like to look at verse 29. This section of verses here is talking about marriage, talking about Christ and the church. We talked about marriage a little bit this morning in Sunday school and what that means. And as we think about, let's just look at what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. It says, verse 29, I'm reading out of the New King James Version this morning. "For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but he nourisheth it and cherisheth it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones." Jump down to 32. He says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak of Christ and the church." It's a great honor to be part of the body of Christ. We did nothing to deserve to be part of the body of Christ. It's a privilege. Paul here calls it a mystery. He said, "I speak of this mystery." As he's thinking of talking about to husbands and wives and their relationship, he right away brings it back and says, "Just as the Lord cherisheth the church, we are members of His body. We are flesh of His flesh and of His bones." And I like to think about that this morning. Think of yourself as part of the body of Christ. What do you have to bring to part of the body of Christ? Flip with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start reading at verse. Well, I'll just talk about a few of the first verses. The first verse is there in chapter 12, verses 12. Start talking about the body, what it means to be part of the body, how we need the different parts. We can't just have the ear. We can't just have a nose or a foot. And he's talking about that. Jump down to verse 18. It says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased." I'll stop there for a second. Each one of you here this morning is part of this body of Christ because God pleased you to be that part. You're here because God wants you to be here. You're part of this body because God has placed you here. Keep on reading. "And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" All right. If we're supposed to be individuals, where would the body be? How would it all work if we were all individual and didn't work? work together. "But how indeed," verse 20, but "now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And again the head can to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And the members of the body which seem to..." Oh, I want to stop there. The members, verse 22 again. No, "much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." All right, every part of the body is necessary. As we talk about church and how the body of church works together. Each part is necessary. Sometimes we say, I just don't know how that person fits in or how that person's view or whatever. Each view is important in the body of Christ as we work together and to look at it. We have a place in God's body. And I have a couple questions written down. It says, can we or do we do the things God asks us to do in life and act like in His body together? How's that supposed to look? Kevin asked the question for you members from the men's meeting of bringing what some of your desires for church and what's it supposed to look like. As you think about that, how are we supposed to act it out? How are we supposed to act out the things in Christ of loving one another, taking care of one another? What does the Scripture say about it? I have, and we'll look at it here a little more. It has 59 times in the New Testament that we are supposed to one that it talks about one another and each other, and different writers have talked about it. It's not just John talking about it; it's Paul. Different people have talking about how we're supposed to love one another, do different things to one another. What's it supposed to look like in our church? What's it supposed to look like in your life and in my life? How's it we supposed to live it out? And as I stop and think about this, I have say too that there are seasons in my life where I sat in church and disconnected and not necessarily wanting to maybe put into life, into the church of life, our church and what it needs. And there are times that I put myself out there and put myself in there, and that's when Christ really was able to use me more. And we need to be all together practicing this to the best of our abilities. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 7, verses 1 to 4. 1 Chronicles 7, 1 to 4. I want to go back in the Old Testament. This morning I want to look a little bit at our relationship, what Christ says our relationships are supposed to look like. And another thing that's been on my mind a lot, too, is about think of the glory of the Lord. I had a message the other week about Moses when he went up into the mount and how he got to see the Lord and how the glory of the Lord shone upon him. And here it talks about it here a little bit again. Our situation here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is the temple is just built. Solomon is just praying and blessing God and consecrating the temple, or praising God, consecrating the temple to God. And when he was done, it starts here in verse 7. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised God, saying, "For He is good, His mercy endureth forever." What I want to look at here is a time, where does God dwell? Where does God dwell? Think about that question. And here is an example in the Old Testament where God's glory dwelt in the temple. He chose that place to be the place where he was going to meet the people and where he was going to meet the high priest who make atonement for the people. Today, he meets us in church. He also tells us that he's going to meet us as individual people. But here in the Old Testament, his glory came down in the temple. Can you imagine what this looks like? I can't even imagine. As we think about paying to go see some exciting thing, fireworks or something like that, what would have it looked like that day to see the glory of the Lord? Like we think of Elijah, and he wanted to know what the Lord looked like, he wanted to hear him in a thunderstorm, in the thunder or the lightning, the wind, and he eventually heard him through a still small voice. But what is we hear the glory of the Lord and how? What does it look like? What happened here that the people recognized that it was the glory of the Lord filling the temple? God was dwelling with His people here. And I'd like to turn now back to this is just a glimpse of what it looked like to them. They got to experience it. We didn't get to experience it in that way. But turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Thinking about where God dwells. Verse 19, Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with and saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building fitly fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, for in whom you are built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. All right, this is exciting now too. We think about the Old Testament and how the glory of the Lord came, but the Lord is saying here, the glory of the Lord is going to be on you. The Spirit of God is on you. It says we are the temple together, fitly fit together. All right. Now, as we think about this temple, as we think about a body of Christ, all of us different believers individually working together, it says that we are on it built upon a foundation. Look at verse 20 there. It says, having been built upon the foundations of who? It says, upon the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. I had to think about that and think about that foundation. And we think about a stone foundation. You know, often they use a big cornerstone in a corner or something big that's not going to move. And that's Jesus Christ. But it also talks about the foundations of this temple that we're part of as also being the apostles and the prophets. And the things and the words that they said, and our faith of our forefathers. All right, and it says, verse 21, in whom the whole building being fitly fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. All right, it does not say that we are exactly there. It says that we're growing. It says we're being fitly fit together. You and I and all of us together are individual pieces of that foundation being put together, that holy temple where God wants to dwell. Verse 22, it says, you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. All right, we know that God came. We talked about the Spirit of God coming to the temple. He also came to at Pentecost to us, and he gave his Spirit to live there here with us. All right, so we are God's temple. God's Spirit dwells in us together. We are all stones together in this temple. I think I even forget who wrote it, but in one of the apostles here, it talks about us being living stones. As we are part of this temple, how do we relate to one another? What does Scripture ask us to do? Or are we caught up so much in our culture that we're not sure how to live it out? I think sometimes this is one of my things that I get on my soapbox or whatever I get on sometimes, but I think about different things in Scripture sometimes is we know it so well. We grew up in the church. We know what the Bible says. We know, as I look over these one anothering things, we know what they say. We know what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live it out, but sometimes I feel like we can just say it with our mouths and we say, yeah, we're supposed to love one another. Yeah, we're supposed to bear each other's burdens. Yeah, we try to do that, but it's not something that we are necessarily intentional about. Do we actually pursue each other? As we're thinking about the second greatest commandment of, as we talked about this morning, about loving Christ, the second greatest one next to that one is to love one another. Is it that important to us? Galatians 6. You can turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Now, I have a bunch of one another's that are in the New Testament. I picked out one because I can't take time to talk about them all this morning. I picked out one. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. This is one thing that we can do as we're learning how to love one another, as we're learning how to be one another's in our congregations. How do we do that? How do we bear each other's load? How do we carry each other's load? I think it starts by having compassion on one another and understanding one another, having grace with one another. Now, the word here in my Bible is to bear. What does it mean to bear? To bear means to endure something together. When you're bearing something, it's upon yourself to bear it together. It says bear one another's burdens, not to make each other's loads lighter. How do we do that? How do we practically do that? I think it comes down to starting out by having personal relationships, I think we have to be close enough to each other to know what each other's burdens are. And when we share with one another each other's burdens, that we continue to check in with them and say, how are you doing? Talk to one another. Be able to be open and share with one another. You're not going to be able to help me with my burden if I don't tell you what it is. All right? Your burden is going to be helped when you share with each other, and we can help one another. We are all part of the same temple, all right? The same dwelling place that God dwells. And God desires that we live together. It's very scriptural that we are to one another each other. What's the second part of this verse? Look at this in Galatians chapter 2 again, or 6 verse 2. It says, so fulfill the law of Christ. So fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Let us turn back here to Matthew chapter 22 where I read earlier. Second commandment is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets hang on them. John 13, 34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. This is the law. As you bear one another's burdens, you fulfill the law of Christ. You love one another. And it's in a special way that we're supposed to love one another. As we talk about loving one another, me and Kate were talking about this a little bit this morning on the way into church. And a little bit during Sunday school. It's not, as we think about a husband and wife relationship, as me and Kate have a relationship as a husband and wife, I used to work with a guy who said this. He said, yeah, I told my wife when we got married that I love her, and if anything changes, I'll let her know. And that's not what love is. Love is a continual showing my wife what it means by actions, and not just words. I could tell her all the time, but if she doesn't see it in action, she's not going to believe it. Right? As we fulfill the law of Christ, we have to do it as Christ did. How does he say it? Look at this. 34, so the new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did Christ love us? Christ loved us so sacrificially and gave up of himself to show his love for us. He loved us in a sacrificial way. Now as we think about it like that, as we look at one another around us, that's a lot harder. That's a lot harder than me just going out to one of you and saying, I love you, brother. To actually show you sacrificially means that I have to give up something for you. To sacrifice something means to give up something. Christ gave that up for us. That's how we're supposed to love one another. It's a lot harder to do. It means that I have to give up something in my life, or my time, my things, or whatever it might take for me to show you how much I love you. And that might hurt a little bit more for me to have to give something up to actually show you that I love you. That might be hard, but it also shows me that we have to be intentional about it, that we have to be intentional about it. It ain't something that's just going to happen just naturally. But if I'm faithful and do it, I'm going to be doing something that's going to show all men that others believe. Look at verse 35 after this. As he says it, he says, if you're faithful and do this, okay? If you love like Christ says, by this all men will you know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another, all men will know that you are my disciples. As others look on to our churches, as others look on into our churches, how do they see it? How do they see our love for one another? Do they see it? They absolutely do. That is why the church is called hypocrites, because other people see it and they say they don't live it out. Okay? But then there's other people that do see it and they say, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. By it, others will see. By this, you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You can turn with me yet to John chapter 17. As you're turning there, I'm going to read a few of these one anotherings that are in throughout Scripture. Different things that Scripture tells us to do, that I talked about earlier. Like, do we just know them, or do we live them out? It says this. I'm not going to read them all 59. I'll go down through and pick some. It says, be at peace with each other. Wash one another's feet. Love one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Stop passing judgment on one another. Serve one another in love. Carry each other's burdens. Forgiving each other. Submit to one another out of reverence for the Christ. Do not lie. Bear with each other. Do not lie to each other. Bear with each other. Admonish one another. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Do not slander one another. Confess your sins to each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. That's one that sticks out to me probably the most. To love one another deeply from the heart. 1 Peter 3:8. Do we do these things? Do we know them? Are they just lip service, or do we actually live them out? Is it something that we actually live out? Can we actually live out these things that Christ asks us to do? Last passage of verses here that I have is out of John 17. And after I'm done here this morning, I'm going to ask Seth to come up for a song, and then I will stand up here again, and maybe there's something that from this morning's Sunday school lesson and from this together that have tying together have something that some of you would have something to share. I'm going to give the time for sharing this morning, ways that we can possibly do this. All right, I don't have all the best description of ways to live it out, but maybe you do. John chapter 17 is a chapter in the Bible that has actually really spoke to me lately about how it actually really enlightened me about how, so some of these other verses did about how to actually live this out, but this John chapter 17 did more than any of the other verses. And it made me realize that if we actually believe what Jesus prayed here, that it should change the way our relationships with one another. I'm not a great guy to tell you up here to teach you how to be very relational or a counselor or anything about relationships, but Christ here in His Word says something about it. Look here at John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is when Jesus is in the garden. He's praying to the Father. He first of all prays to the Father that the Father to glorify Himself. Jesus is praying that. Then he prays for His disciples and the apostles. He prays for them and to empower them. And then He prays the last section of verses for all believers. So that's for you and me. All right, we're trying to look at Scripture here that's directly towards us. This is Jesus praying for all believers. Verse 20. I do not pray for those alone, but for those all, I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as you and you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may see that you have sent me. I'll stop there for a second. He prays that that for those who believe in His word. Then verse 21, He says, that they may be one. He wants oneness among us. He does. Christ wants oneness. He's not saying that we're all going to think exactly the same, but He wants oneness among us. And He says, as you and you, Father, are in me. All right, we teach that Christ, that Jesus, the Son, the Father, Holy Ghost, they're one. Here we believe that. And it says, as the Father and Christ are one, I want you to be like that. He says, read verse 21 again. It can say it clearer than I can. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me, and that I in you. That they may be one in us, that the world may see that you have sent me. He said, I want them to be one. I want them to have as much oneness in each other that you and I, Father, have in one another. That same oneness as the Father has with Jesus Christ, that we would have that among each other. Why? That they may see, that the world may believe that you sent me. We talk about, Kevin shared about too, as you think about what you just want to share, your desires for the church, your goals for the church, and evangelism. I think as you live out your love for one another, evangelism will come. Evangelism comes. As a result of it, others will see that you have sent me. As you want to evangelize the world, do it among each other. Show your love for one another, and it's going to evangelize among the world. Let's keep reading. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. All right, Christ is saying, the glory, Father, that you've given me, I'm giving to them. All right, that is turned out, as then is now turned over to us. That they may be one just as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me, that you love them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. All right, Christ wants us to behold his glory, that which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, that these things, these have known you that sent me, and declared to them your name, and will declare it with the love, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. All right, his desire here at the end here is that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. He desires for that same love that the Father will love Jesus Christ to be in us and among each other. That's a great love. As we talked about looking at what a sacrificial love that it is, it also is the love that's between Christ and the Father. That is supposed to be the same kind of relationships that we're supposed to have among each other. That's hard. That's hard to be able to live up to that. But as I look at it, I see that other people will be pointed to Christ if our relationships look like this. Other people will be pointed to Christ. It says it in a couple of says it twice in this passage, and it said it earlier there too in John 2. That others will see Christ. I think it's threefold. If you look at verse, three things here in verse 23, that his desire is his desire is that the world may know that God has sent Jesus, that God loves them, and in the same way that he has loved his only Son. All right, he wants the world to know that he sent Jesus. He also wants the world to know that he sent, that he loves them in the same way that he loved him. And that's a deep love. That's a deep love. And it wants to be shown to the world. And I think that he's praying for us to believe that in the same way. Can we do that? Are we able to know that our relationships to each other are that important? Do we portray that to one another as we go through our daily lives? Not just Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. I have written down here at the end of my message some of my recent passions and discussions. Some of what got me to thinking about some of this is actually some discussions that I would have had in church with other believers. And as we lead these discussions, we have some of these discussions on how to do things with one another, even maybe things that are different, maybe even all sharing health care or living, not communal living, but different things, ways we could help one another. And as we talk about a lot of different discussions in life and with other believers, it often came down to us leaving those discussions and saying, if we all believe the same way, if all of us were all in, we could possibly do it. If we're all in, if we all cared about each other enough, we could possibly do it. But that means that we'd have to change. All right? It meant that we'd have to change. And I'll leave those discussions a little bit pondering some of that and wondering, isn't there a different way that we could be pursuing one another? Is there a better way we could be pursuing one another and loving one another? Is there a way that God, and that's where what this passage's verses came out. I came out with this message from that as I contemplated some of that. Is there a way that we can love one another deeply? and care for one another and show each other that? Is it something that's unattainable for us to do? I realize we are humans and we are going to not have the exact same relationship that Christ and the Father had, but that's what he wants us to model. That's what he wants us to model. Let's pray together. Then Seth, you can have a song, and then I'll get open up for a time of sharing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word again this morning and see what you desire for us, you desire that we would love you with all our heart, mind, and soul. And the second commandment is greatest to that we would love one another in the same way. God, I pray that we would be able to live that out, that it would be a passion of ours, that it would be something that we desire to do in our heart and not something that we look at as just a commandment and a law that we would have to do. It's something that we want to do for one another. Lord, I pray for the Bradford Granite Church here this morning. I pray, Lord, that they would find direction as they meet here on Wednesday night again too, and as men, and look for direction in church. Lord, I ask that you would give them that as they talk to one another. I pray too that they would be able to show love one another in their daily lives. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to live this out, that others would be able to be pointed towards you. I pray this in your name. Amen.